And amen to that last song. As I was preparing for this lesson this morning, I happened to just type in the word serving in a Google search, clicked on images, and I really liked this one. Serving Him. You don't just go to church, you be the church. To go along with our lesson this morning, we'll start out by telling you a couple of things. Number one, I'm not a mechanic. That sounds kind of awkward to start a sermon with that, but I'm not a mechanic because our push mower broke down last fall, probably about the last time I was mowing, and it was the rip cord that came out, and I thought, well, this can't be that hard. Just take the bolt off, take it off, and see if I can rewind it in there, and guess what? It still don't run. So, but here's the thing. I could probably give that lawnmower maybe to Leo, maybe even to Jim, I don't know, maybe even to Rick, and they could get that thing running again. They could get that rewound in there, get it bolted, or, you know, put the nuts back in it and get it to start running again. But here's the other part of it. If somebody said, well, you've got to change the IP settings in your internet router, some of you probably couldn't do that. But see, I can. All right? So see, there's a mutual dependence there for that situation. You know, one person has one talent and I have another talent. You know, but... And that's just one small example, but let's go to another example, okay? And once again, I'm going to restate it. I'm not a mechanic, but I do know certain things about engines. I know they've, depending on the size of the engine, they've got a certain number of cylinders in there. I also know it's got fuel injectors. I know there's timing. And on today's cars, I mean, it's amazing the electronics and how complicated they get, you know? Sean, my brother-in-law, he used to have a 93 Jeep Wrangler, and that was pretty simple. Straight six, everything was right there. It was, you know, the under a hood of a Jeep. And I think that's why they're so popular. There's a lot of room in there to work if you've got to work on one of them. That's a car, a Jeep, I could probably actually work on because I can see everything, and there's not really too much in the way of complicated electronics to it, you know. But then my former job when I was the foreman at the light plant down in Carmi, they had a timing chain on these big engines. And if the timing chain was off or if it jumped off, there'd be too much fuel go into the cylinder heads. The cylinders wouldn't fire in the right order, and it would start to what they call detonate. And now that's a sound to hear, you know. And to a smaller extent, smaller engines do that too, just because the timing's off. So everything has to work just properly and just right, or that engine at the light plant wasn't going to push out electricity. That's all there was to it. Now I want to go into Acts chapter 6, because just like a very well-oiled engine or a very well-oiled machine, in Acts chapter 6, there is a situation that comes up with the early church. And in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, I'll put it up there on the screen for you. It says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus," I can't even say that, "that next guy, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." So you see, the word is spreading all over the area, and the only reason why that word is spreading so effectively is because everybody is on the same page and everybody is working together as one. Now remember, we cannot work separately, you and me in this church, in this congregation. We cannot work separately and hope to accomplish our mission of spreading the gospel effectively. Yes, we work differently, but we all have to have the same goal in mind. And that's to be united in faith and united and grow in the love and the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is our goal here. And if we can't get on the same page about that, we won't be effective. Now you see, the problem here is, it's a really good problem to have here in Acts chapter 6 if you think about it. You've got so many people that have obeyed the gospel there in Jerusalem that they've got this problem. And I don't think that this is intentional. I really don't. It's easy to look at that and say, well, the native Hebrews, you know, they were just, you know, the Hebrews were just playing favorites there because they had something against the Hellenistic Jews. If you don't know what a Hellenistic Jew was, it was a Jew, but they had a Greek background and education. Okay? So they might have been looked on differently, but I don't take that to mean that this was intentional. It was because of the diversity of the body that this was happening. And so you see the complaint here. Now, if we're not careful in our lives, how many times do we just, we complain? Rather than seeing a complaint as an opportunity like they did here in the first century church. Their complaint was, hey, we're being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Our people are. We don't think it's going on evenly. Now, there's one thing I want to point out very clearly here. I'm going to tell you something that what the disciples are not saying here. Because if you go back, you see that they say, it's not good for us to neglect the Word of God in order to serve tables. They're not saying that this is beneath them at all. What were those apostles commissioned to do? They were commissioned to spread the word and to spread the gospel. Okay, that was their, Jesus gave them that commission to do that. What they're saying here is, here's our role. Now here's something else that you and the rest of you can do. You know, so like I said, the complaint gives rise to an opportunity. So they say, choose for yourself seven men and it pleased the multitude. And because you have this diverse group that has come together here, this is the first time that it's mentioned there at the end of this text where it says, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Their example of how this diverse group of people, you had the Hellenistic Jews and you had the native Hebrews that were together now as the body of Christ, this diverse group coming together, they were in a shining example of what could happen and what happens when Jesus Christ is at the center and the forefront of everything that they were doing. Now, we will go back to that metaphor about the engine we were talking about. Everything kind of has to work in perfect sequence, you know. Think about a sports team now. In basketball, they don't just let you play with three people out on the floor, okay? You got to play with five, all right? And you go to football. There's a quarterback. Everybody knows the quarterback. Usually the quarterbacks are the stars. You know, we can name the quarterbacks, you know, Tom Brady and Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford and, you know, Jimmy G, they call him, Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, okay? They're the quarterback, but they're not the only part of the team because guess what? There's five guys that stand in front of that quarterback that if they don't do their job, there's not a thing that quarterback can do on the field. If those five offensive linemen don't do their job, no matter how insignificant it might appear to me and you, because all we do is we look at the quarterbacks, we look at the running backs, we look at the receivers, if you watch football, okay? And they're the stars. But like I said, if those five guys don't do their job, it neutralizes everything that that team is trying to accomplish. So when everyone plays their part, it works together for the good of the whole. And that's why I'm talking about sports this morning, because it's an easy analogy to use. All right? And we need to recognize one very, very important thing with this. It is not enough just to be part of the team. We've got to get involved. Have you ever went to a basketball game? Especially like a 6th or 7th grade basketball game by any chance? And you've got the kids that are out on the floor and you got all the kids that are on the bench. Do they not look like that they're eager and that they're ready to get into the game? Okay, so now think about that in terms of spiritual readiness. Are we that eager to serve each other in the church? Or do we just kind of sit back and we let them five guys do their own thing? Because when you look at kids on the bench, they're all just like, I'm ready, coach. Put me in there. You know, I can stop that kid on the defensive end that's just eating us alive down there. And I can look for the open teammate. And I've got what the team needs. Just put me in there. Are we that eager on this side of it? Are we eager to jump in and to serve? Now, you might be sitting there and you might think, well, I want to serve, but I just don't know how. Well, here's my plug for our work day. All right? I've got about four or five things I'd like to do here in this building next Saturday. You know, we're going to need help. And we're going to need everybody to come in here. We've got cleaning to do, and we've got clothes to go through and to sort through. I know, because I brought a lot of clothes out here, and it's out here in the storage. Sorry about that, Leo, if it's in your way. But better out there than downstairs interfering with the classrooms. We got a lot of work to do Saturday. If you're not sure how to get involved in this church, be here Saturday. Come and help me. But the most important thing we have to also remember too is Jesus Christ, we know, died for our sins. His precious blood cleanses us. And he left those apostles in charge. But guess what? He's left us in charge too. He has given us the same commission to go out and to spread the gospel and to build the church up. And we can't do it alone. We can't do it separately. We've all got to work together. And the thing is, he left it in our hands. And it's amazing to me, I've said this in a previous sermon, that God would limit his power to spreading the gospel to our willingness to want to do it. I know that sounds kind of weird to you, but you think about that. It's only by our willingness, and we've got to make that choice to go out and to spread the gospel throughout this world. Nobody can make the decision for us. I spent 3 hours at my neighbor's house yesterday, and he's actually also my cousin, because his daughter got a brand new little blow-up swimming pool, and my son Alex was over there, and they swam for like 3 hours, and Jason and I were just sitting there, and we were just talking, and he said, you know, and he goes to the Christian church at Carmine, and he is, you know, you could tell he wants to be a good person, he wants to be a good Christian, but he says, you know, something just hasn't made me flip that switch yet, you know, and I said, well, sometimes it's just you got to decide to flip the switch. That's all it is, you know. Just convince yourself that this is what you want. If you think you want it and you know you want it, just go do it. It's as simple as making the commitment to being involved, to being active, to being here every time the doors are open, to being here during the work days, to being here when we have special things going on. Just be here. Because I guarantee you, your spiritual life, you're going to benefit from it when you step and you walk between those doors every Sunday. But we have to make the choice. So that when God taps you on the shoulder and says, get in the game, get in there and give it all that you've got. All right? And then, you know, and it's not about myself coming up here and preaching and Jim coming up here and preaching. Or it's not just about sitting there singing songs. Okay? Those are just things that you can see. But there's so many other things going on in this church right here that you don't see. You see people making phone calls, checking on people. I don't see it. I shouldn't say that. I just said it's unseen. There are people that make phone calls and check on other people when they're not here. When they are so grieved because of the loss of a loved one, people don't even have a second thought to even trying to fix themselves a good meal. There are people in this church that cook meals and take to people that are that grief-stricken so that they can have something to eat. There are people that are down right now, not just spiritually, but physically for some reason, and there are cards being sent to these people. Those are all things that you can't see going on that are all working together. And the more important thing is, it's all working together for an eternal purpose. God has an eternal purpose for His church, to spread love and truth and grace and mercy, and to show the world the love that Jesus has for all the world. To show the love that Jesus has for all the world. Not just you and me, but for those that are outside these walls. And as I was preparing, I just kind of thought to myself, I'm like, you know, what if all of a sudden our Bible class teachers just weren't here? I'm talking about the ones downstairs too, the little ones. And over here and in here, you know. What if somebody just didn't prepare the Lord's Supper one Sunday? You know, those are all the little things that you don't think, maybe you don't think about, that go on in this building that allow us to just be able to come in here and sit down and focus all of our attention on worshiping God. You know, most of the time, if my littlest one hasn't broken off all the pencil lead in the pews on the pencils have sharpened. There's visitor cards there. There's things to take notes with. That all wouldn't be there if it wasn't for somebody. Okay? And we sometimes have a tendency maybe to take those things for granted. That's just one little part that somebody does that makes sure that everything works in here like a well-oiled machine. What if Jim just stopped writing the checks? You know, what would happen? You know, these are just things that go on, just like I say, that we don't even give a second thought to. And then finally this morning, the last thing I want to share with you real quick is in John chapter 12. This is kind of a lengthy reading. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of the ones reclining at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his head with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now this is John talking here. Keep this in mind, the Apostle John. He says, Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. And the large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. So in this family here, you have Mary, you have Martha, you have Lazarus. And what you learn from the previous chapter is that Jesus wept tears right before, even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. This is how close he was to this little family here. I say little family, it's three people. And all of the people in their household that were in their care. Very close to them. So not only are Mary and Martha and Lazarus are they physical family, but because they're following after Jesus, they're spiritual family as well. And you see three people here and they all have different roles. You have Martha running around the house, making sure, because they've got a lot of people there. You know, what's the text say? They've got people coming from everywhere because Jesus is there, but not only because of him, but because of Lazarus, because he's raised from the dead. Martha's running around and she's making sure that the table is set and everybody's got food and everybody's got a drink and she's cleaning and she's taking care of the household. All right? Mary, on the other hand, is sitting at the feet of Jesus and she's worshiping him by pouring that, or not say pouring, but, you know, wiping his feet with her hair, you know. And then you have Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. As we said, he's the reason why people are coming. So he's got a story to sit there and tell, right? He's got a story that says, man, I was in the tomb last week. I was dead. I was rotting. And now here Jesus has raised me from the dead. So you have three different people with three different gifts and abilities all serving in that household, and they all had a specific purpose. Now, to put it in terms of our church here, you've got the Marthas of the world, and you've got the Marthas of the church, not here, but globally too, the church as a whole. You've got the Marthas, you know, the building's clean. You know, things are ready for us to be able to worship God. You have those people that serve. And without that, we wouldn't be able, like I say, to come in here and give our full attention to worshiping. Now, on the worshiping end of things, you have Mary, who is sitting there at the feet of Jesus, who's worshiping. You have Marys out in this auditorium today, and also once again across the church universally, that they sit there, and because of their singing and because of their praising God, their praise fills the room, fills this auditorium. Just like the fragrance of that perfume filled the whole room, a Mary sitting in this pew today, her praise and adoration for God can fill this whole auditorium, and it can inspire me to be a better worshiper because of her example. And then finally you have Lazarus, who has a story to tell. He specializes in testifying about what Jesus did for him. And Lazarus is now living proof that out of death, Jesus can bring life. And he is his very presence in that room is a witness of who Jesus is. And finally, in conclusion this morning, there's a fourth person in that story that you might kind of, you know, you might not think about. But the fourth person is Judas. Now we know, unfortunately, what Judas was kind of about. Even John says there, back there in verse 6, that's why I put an emphasis on that. John says, this is John talking, he says, Now he said this, referring to Judas, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to pilfer what was put into it. Judas was a taker. That's all he was. He would just take and take and take. That's what John tells us. Maybe because he didn't understand, or maybe because he didn't want to understand what was really going on. But those other three people were a testimony to how the power of God can work in each and every single one of us. For your benefit, from me being up here for your benefit, to the things that you don't even probably know that you do for me. You understand how that works? And there's people out there, you have no idea what you do for me just because of your presence here this morning. You know, and it works the other way too. It works the other way when Jim's up here. And this is, don't you, I want to say this again. This is just what you can see. You see me and Jim up here preaching and teaching, and you see Leo doing his thing and this, that, and the other. But the things that go on behind the scenes are just as important as what goes on up here. There's nothing that is more important. There is no position in this church that has any more importance than any other. We are all stewards. We are all put in charge. We are all given our talents. This morning is the decision you have to make is, are you going to use your talents for the good of this church? Or are you going to sit back and take and take and take? Now, I'm certainly not accusing anybody. But if there's more that you know you can do in your heart, you make that decision this morning to use your talents not only for the good of myself and your fellow Christians, use your talents for God. Like I said, if there's something that you just don't know what to do, come to us. Or better yet, maybe you've looked around and you've seen something that can be done. Maybe that's God telling you, there's your purpose. So whatever your decision is, we want you to make the correct decision this morning. Choose to use your talents for good. Choose to use your talents for God and for the uplifting of this body. Help us get to another level in our relationship with God, collectively, as a congregation. Also, every Sunday at this time, we offer the Lord's invitation. For those that have not experienced the saving power of the gospel, if you'd like to study more about what God has in store for you, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And that purpose is to give Him glory and honor and praise. That is why I live today. With every breath I take, I now live for God. The same way each and every one of you that have been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's your eternal purpose now. So if there's any need that you have this morning, whatever we can do for you, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing if you're able.